the following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop looking out over London.
Good night and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Okay, well, we made it to a Thursday, so we've got that going for us. And the GOP is in full gear. They're all ramped up and ready to go, pushing this Graham-Cassidy bill to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act yet again. And we're getting down to the wire. They have until September 30th. And that's the end of the fiscal year. And that's when their chance at reconciliation, at doing this with 50 votes, the only way they'd ever be able to get it through, expires. Then again, they can start all over again. But if they want to do it now, this is when their window is up. So it's full speed ahead. And it's scary times. The latest carrot given to Lisa Murkowski is a really interesting one. Apparently, they're offering to let her keep Obamacare. Yeah, she would get to keep Alaska would get to keep the subsidies, the payments that they get. Basically, they were telling us Obamacare is so bad, but Alaska, you know, in order to entice you to stay in, you can keep all the advantages you get out of Obamacare. Now, people like me, people who have pre-existing conditions, I guess we're the pawns in this fight. I have one of those pawns on the line. She's actually a woman. Her name is Laura Packard. She's a writer. She's an activist. She's a digital new media and communication strategist and a Democratic political consultant and writer, I think I already said, based in Las Vegas. Laura, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Thank you so much for being here today. Now, Laura is a friendly acquaintance, going back an online friend, going back a few years. And it was a few months back that I learned that you were battling cancer.
Yes, I was diagnosed in April. I had a cough that never went away. And then they told me it was stage 4 cancer.
Stage 4 cancer. You know, my listeners know they went through my whole battle with lung cancer with me all of last year. And thankfully, we caught mine early. And, you know, I still have to go in and have a CAT scan every 4 months. But for now, knocking on wood laminate here, I'm deemed cancer free. But as a cancer survivor, I'm still one of those people with a pre-existing condition. You're actually fighting for your life. So this is, you know, this is life and death going on right now.
Right. And my insurance is through Obamacare. I'm self-employed.
Right.
So I have a policy on the exchange. So they're coming directly for my insurance, which I need to stay alive.
Right. Mine as well. And as I went through this, this is the third time we've gotten through this in the last few months, it seems, where we're fighting. You know, it's all hands on deck time to call our senators and congressmen as well, because if this passes the Senate, it's going to go immediately to the House. Again, they only have 9 days left to get this done. So now you live in Las Vegas. So your senator is Dean Heller. And Dean Heller, the last time we went through this, it looked like he was one of the people who was going to be one of the more reasonable ones, until that day at the White House when Trump seemingly threatened his job. And then all of a sudden, Dean Heller did an about face. Is that how you read that?
Exactly. My senator, unfortunately, also has a pre-existing condition, which is that he has no spine.
Ah. You're right. And not only did he, lose his spine, if he ever had one, his name, we are calling this Graham Cassidy, but there are four chief co-sponsors, and it's Lindsey Graham, Bill Cassidy, Ron Johnson, and Dean Heller. He's one of the four mm-hmm. main people on this. How could one go from somebody who, was actually looking logically at this to somebody who has his name on the bill?
Somebody either threatened him or bought him, because he came out and did a press conference with Governor Sandoval that laid out all the reasons why Trump Care was a terrible idea. So he knows. He knows why this bill is horribly broken, and he's putting his name on it anyway.
That's really heinous. That is just, and I think he was both threatened and bought, because both of those mm-hmm. are going on. We saw the threat. We saw Trump look at him and say, maybe we'll just have to replace you next time, or something to that effect, when they had the big luncheon with as many of the senators that showed up. But they're doing the buy-off thing now. Before I brought you on, I mentioned what's going on in Alaska with Lisa Murkowski. And they're mm-hmm. really, they're saying, well, you can keep all the money that you would have, that the state of Alaska would have gotten under Obamacare. You and Hawaii, Alaska and Hawaii would keep that money. It reminds me of during the days of the Obamacare battles, and we know Obamacare is far from perfect. Remember the mm-hmm. Cornhusker kickbacks and all of those little buy-offs. Well, I don't know what they offered Dean Heller, but his soul is gone. You've been writing a lot. Yeah, I saw a piece that you had yesterday or the day before mm-hmm. In the Las Vegas Sun, talking about how this new health bill would hurt Nevadans. Obviously, mm-hmm. you're talking to your fellow Nevadans, but what do you tell people who argue with you over this? What's your argument to them, other than, I want to stay alive? Why this is so bad?
Well, that's a pretty compelling argument to me.
Yeah, it is.
But I think that people need to realize that the Affordable Care Act is more than just insurance policies for people who are self-employed, who buy it through the exchange or the Medicaid expansion. It's also a set of policies that affect everybody in this country, no more annual or lifetime limits, or people with pre-existing conditions are able to get insurance at the same rates as everybody else. Those policies apply not only to the exchange, but to all of the private insurance policies out there. So if the Affordable Care Act goes away, I think that people need to realize that they are all under threat, even if they have insurance through their employer.
Right. So for instance, the essential services, the essential things that all insurance policies cover, mental health care, in addition to dealing with my lung cancer, my audience has dealt with my depression with me. And that's something that an insurer cannot deny you coverage on. I remember the years before the Affordable Care Act, being able to buy health insurance, but not being able to get mental health coverage because I had used it before. We're going to go back to the bad old days of the insurance companies not only being able to deny you certain coverage, they can deny you maternity care, they can deny you, as I said, mental health care, they can deny me coverage for cancer. Maybe they'll sell me a policy, but they're not going to cover if my cancer comes back. But they can also, they'll also be able to then cancel you if you get sick like they used to. This would essentially return us to the Wild West days of how it was before the Affordable Care Act and all of its benefits kicked in. And by benefits, I'm not talking about what you get with your policy. I'm talking about the things that are covered, the things that, the rules that are in place to protect us.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so everybody should be afraid. Whether or not you think this affects you, it does affect you. And both Nicole and I assume that you didn't see your cancer coming. So accidents, illnesses can happen out of the blue, and there's no way to prepare for that. What you need is good insurance.
That's right. Something else happened to you yesterday. I had already invited you to be on the show. And then yesterday I'm online and I see woman battling stage 4 cancer is blocked by Trump. And I'm like, no, it can't be. And sure enough, you've been blocked on Twitter by the president, huh?
Yes. I'm not sure if he was having a bad hair day or what, but yesterday he blocked me on Twitter. I guess that he was no longer interested in hearing the facts about Obamacare and Trump care.
That's stunning. I think there's a lawsuit going on because Donald Trump's Twitter feed is it's public record. They're official White House statements, and he's keeping you from being able to see what he's writing. Now, I understand that's probably better for your psyche, but I don't know that it's legal. So there's a lawsuit you can join in on as if, you really want to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm investigating that because I think that this presidency has shown that all of the customs and norms we're used to were just that, customs, not laws. And so we need to be vigilant in enforcing and supporting our laws so that we can survive the next 4 years.
It's stunning how we've gotten to this place. I don't get it. Laura Packard is with us. By the way, you can follow Laura on Twitter because you're not blocked, or we're not blocked, at L Packard, P-A-C-K-A-R-D. So I guess in the time we have left, the best thing we can all do is call our senators. I mean, that's and our representatives in the House just to make our voices heard, right?
Right. That's the best thing. The very best thing you can do would be to talk to your senators in person. But if you are not able to do that, if you're not in D.C. or they're not going to be back in your area, then the next best thing is a phone call.
Right. Because they do. They keep tallies in the offices of how many calls they get. You know, emails, pretty much, I don't know that they're worth anything. Letters, they'll never get there in time. You need to pick up the phone if you can't make it out to an office, to an event, to see them. And even someone like, look, I live in Florida. My Senator Marco Rubio, you know, it seems like a waste of time, but it's not. You know, they need to hear from us.
You are well familiar with the plight of those of us that have senators that have no spine.
Oh, yes. And I've known of this one for a long time. You know, this is the guy who told us that come January, 1st, he'd be a private citizen. And then, he went out and ran again. Everything about this guy. And he still says he's undecided. Well, we know how he's going to vote because he is a spineless turd. Yours, I think, is worse because he acted like there was some possibility he would do the right thing. And of course, he didn't. But you also have a governor who came out against this. It doesn't even have a name. It's the Graham-Cassidy bill. I mean, it's this repeal of the Affordable Care Act. It's just doing away with something that protects us, something that is keeping you alive. And look, I keep thinking I have my next CAT scan in about 3 weeks, and that might be my last one. This is how I look at it. You know, for so many of us, it is a matter of life and death. And they just don't seem to want to admit that. And they, one thing I heard in Bill Cassidy's little the death bill. Thank you, Trumantown in the chat room called it the death bill. That works. The fight between Jimmy Kimmel and Bill Cassidy. Bill Cassidy is saying that it has protection for pre-existing conditions. That's just an outright lie. And we need to be strong and call these people out on the lies that they're perpetrating.
Mm-hmm. Right. Some of these elected officials may be saying things in ignorance, but the people that wrote this bill, they know what they're doing. And if they say otherwise, they're lying.
That's right. That's right. And Bill Cassidy, again, wrote it with Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham is lying through his teeth. Another problem here is John McCain, who keeps saying the right things, keeps saying there's no regular order here. There's, you know, it's not bipartisan. But Lindsey Graham is his best buddy in the Senate. And so it'll be interesting to see if it's principles over, over his buddy. I don't know. At this point, I don't know. John McCain surprised me last time in a good way, but I don't.
Right.
I don't have any illusions about him that he'll do the right thing twice. I hope he will. I hope. Mm-hmm. I hope his battle with cancer is making him consider the rest of us out here fighting the same disease.
Mm-hmm. Let's hope, because we need three. And it sounds like Collins will do the right thing. I'm hopeful that Murkowski will do the right thing, but we need McCain. I don't put a lot of faith in Rand Paul. So
nor do I. Nor do I. And those who are counting on him being the savior here, I don't trust him for a moment. So, it's all hands on deck time. Laura Packard, thank you for speaking out. Thank you for sharing your struggle with the rest of us. I talked about my cancer all the time. I talked about battling cancer all the time because people need to know what it feels like, what's going on. And by you sharing your struggle, hopefully somebody is maybe going to be a bit more compassionate and realize, shit, that could be me, you know, and it very easily could be.
Absolutely.
Laura, thank you for joining us today. Really appreciate it, and wishing you the best of luck.
Thank you, and same to you.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye. Laura Packard in Nevada, battling cancer and her senator from doing, who's not doing the right thing. All right. Time now to turn to the Talk Media News Service and find out what's going on in the world. Victoria Jones is on the line with us. Victoria, are you there?
I sure am.
Oh, what a time, huh? Just, it's like never a dull moment. Just when you think we're at the point where you can, someone like me, or Victoria, you hear me?
Yes,
this
I can.
Is Laura.
Oh, Laura. Sorry, Laura. I'm trying to hang up on you and I can't. So you can just hang up now. For some reason, I'm not able to hang up on Laura Packard. Victoria, I may need to call you back in a moment. So Victoria.
Okay.
You know what, Victoria, would you call me back?
Sure.
Okay.
I'll call you right back.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Bye. That'll be easier. I had them both on the line and couldn't hang up on Laura. So Victoria will call back in and get our news from the Talk Media News Service. What I was saying is, just when you think you can breathe a little easier, all of a sudden it gets to the point where you just can't, right? They brought it up once. It failed. They brought it up again. It failed. And here we go again. All right. Hi, Victoria Jones. That's better.
Hi.
Now it's just the two of us.
Sorry.
So yeah, just when you think you can breathe easy again, they do this again. And the outcome shouldn't be any different, because this, of all of these repeal bills, is the worst. I'm holding a New York Times editorial from Tuesday, and they write right in it, it's hard to overstate the cruelty of the Graham-Cassidy bill. Every analysis that I've read of it shows that this is by far the worst of these repeal bills, and yet we are questioning whether or not Susan Collins will vote against it again, whether or not Lisa Murkowski will stand up and do the right thing, whether or not John McCain will stand for principle over friendship and go against his good buddy Lindsey Graham.
Yes, indeed. Now, I'm thinking that I had heard that Susan Collins was a definite no, and that Rand Paul was a definite no. But I read a very interesting piece in Politico within the last couple of hours about how in this bill there are carve-outs for five sparsely populated states.
Uh-huh.
It protects Alaska and up to four other states from major cuts to Medicaid through 2026. It doesn't help them after that. So that would be a boon to pivotal GOP swing vote Lisa Murkowski.
That's right. And they're telling Lisa Murkowski now, basically, you get to keep all the money you get under Obamacare. You know, we'll give you that. You and Hawaii, we'll give you that. So they're saying that Obamacare is so bad, but, you know, in order to entice Lisa Murkowski to stay, to give them a yes vote, you can keep your Obamacare. Something is just really wrong with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's you know, this bill is seems to be, from what I understand of it, pretty harsh. And I came across a very interesting article. Now, let me see if I can pull it up here, because I'm on the New York Times website, and it was on here, and it was really a strong article of the health insurance companies.
I have it. You know what? I think insurers come out swinging against new Republican health care bill. Is that the one? And it shows all of these, when you have Blue Cross Blue Shield and America's health insurance plans, AHIP, that's the lobbying arm of the health insurance industry, and they're coming out against it. You know that this is bad. They've joined the American Medical Association, the American Hospital Association, AARP, and the lobbying arm of the American Cancer Society, and the list goes on and on. I mean, virtually every medical group.
Let me just say what Marilyn Tavener from the America's Health Insurance Plan said, that the legislation could hurt patients by further destabilizing the individual market. She said that without control, some states could simply eliminate private insurance. Mm-hmm. Now, the president of Blue Cross Blue Shield said it would allow states to waive key consumer protections as well as undermine safeguards for those with pre-existing conditions.
Yep.
He said it reduces funding for many states significantly, would increase uncertainty in the marketplace, making coverage more expensive and jeopardizing Americans' choice of health plans.
It's amazing. It's going to bring us back to the Wild West days before we had the Affordable Care Act, before Obamacare. When they could cancel you at will, you get sick, they cancel you. You have a pre-existing condition, maybe they'll sell you a policy, maybe not. But if they do, it's going to be a hell of a lot more expensive than if you didn't. And who at our age doesn't have a pre-existing condition? And me with now, as a cancer survivor, maybe they'll sell me a policy, but it'll exclude cancer coverage.
Yeah, it is very, very, I mean, it's, you know, I have pre-existing, I've got at least two pre-existing conditions. And now, in Maryland, you can't be dropped by the insurance company you have. But under this bill, I don't see why they couldn't jack up my insurance as much as they want.
And under this bill, who knows, they could drop you. That's right now, nobody can drop you. Right? Because of the Affordable Care Act protections. Once that's done, then it's back to the drawing board. It's the Wild West again. All bets are off. It's really unsettling at best. And I don't know how any of these Republican senators who are going to vote for this thing can sleep at night. I don't know how they look at themselves in the mirror.
You know, I don't understand. I don't understand it. I really don't understand it. And some Republicans don't want to be primaried.
I guess. So their jobs are more important than the lives of the people they're, they've been elected and charged with representing.
I don't understand it.
I don't either. That's here we go again. It's amazing. So, Victoria, what else is going on?
Yeah, what else is going on? What else is going on? Trying to think if there's any good news for you. I don't have much in the way of good news. Well, Roy Moore, Republican U.S. Senate candidate in Alabama, has got a debate tonight with Lisa Strain. And Sarah Palin has got two rallies for him, a rally before with Sebastian Gorka.
Oh, boy.
And then Yes, and then another rally after with Sebastian Gorka and Representative Louis Gohmert and some talk show host I hadn't heard of. So I'm hoping they'll be televised because, I mean, that's must-see TV.
Now, Trump is standing by his man, Luther Strange. And if Roy Moore wins, what does this do to Trump?
Well, I don't. Well, I mean, it means he lost.
Yeah, well, there's that. Yep, and not very good for Trump's, track record. He's not winning a whole lot of things. That's why he wants this health care debacle so badly.
He really wants a win. He really wants a win. And, the Republicans really want to unify and stop this alliance between Trump and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer.
I guess.
Yeah, they do. They're worried about it.
Oh, boy. Well, but it's funny with Trump's approval ratings ticking up. The reason it was is because it polled at like 70%. People approved of the deal he cut with Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi.
It's interesting, and one wonders whether that's how it will come across in the White House or not. I don't know because I don't know how these things, get played out.
Right. Hey, Victoria, during the Obama years, you used to talk about how the Obama press office was so much less accommodating to journalists than the Bush press office was. How's the Trump press office to journalists?
They're not accommodating to journalists.
Yeah, I had a feeling you'd say that. Even after Sean Spicer?
No, it doesn't make any difference. They're not accommodating. They might be polite. Some of them are polite, but they're not accommodating. Emails are very often unreturned, or you're referred to somebody else, and that doesn't go anywhere. I haven't had my issues addressed.
I'm not surprised. Yeah. I'm not surprised. Hey, I've been stuck in my studio for the last couple of hours. I'm wondering, it may be good news. Is there any news out of Mexico where those kids were trapped in the school?
I don't know whether they've been able to get them out, in particular that girl, because I know that they were feeling that some of the others were not alive. I'm looking at a story from 1 hour ago saying it's now desperate attempts to reach the girl trapped by rubble.
Because the last I saw, they were supposedly getting her some oxygen and some water or something. So I thought they had gotten closer to her. This girl they're calling Frida, who may or may not be named Frida. We could all use some good news right about now. It really, really is.
We really could. Well, I mean, one piece of good news is that the world will not end on Saturday.
Well, are you sure about that?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, because the planet, what is it called? The planet Nibiru does not exist. So there isn't going to be a collision with Earth.
No, it's Nambia that doesn't exist.
Well, Nambia doesn't exist either. No. Yeah.
Oh, but this other planet that was supposed to
it's supposed to collide with Earth. Yeah.
Oh, I see. And that planet doesn't exist. The world could still end on Saturday. At the rate we're going, Victoria Jones, I wouldn't, I wouldn't write anything off about now.
Well, no, it could. Anything could happen for other reasons. But the planet Nibiru is not going to be the cause.
I see.
Put it that way.
Okay. Well, then that's good to know, I suppose. All right.
Yeah. So rest assured. One other quick thing I'll tell you is Environmental Protection Agency, EPA employees are undergoing mandatory anti-leaking classes as part of a Trump administration effort to stop unauthorized disclosures to the press and elsewhere.
Really? Mandatory anti-leaking. So that has nothing to do with water damage. They're talking about No leaking.
No leaking. Now, yeah,
good quality, lower cost health care for all.
Whoops, sorry about that. I'm having major equipment malfunction today.
That's okay. Not very few EPA employees handle classified information, but agency leadership is also trying to ensure that workers do not disclose what they're calling controlled unclassified information.
Ooh, okay. Well, that is interesting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It is interesting because there have been a lot of leaks from the EPA.
Well, there's been a lot of leaks from this White House, all in all, and for good reason. I think they're trying to, you know, the people who are doing the leaking are the ones who are trying to protect the future of the country. Things are so insane.
There are a lot of employees who seem to have concerns. People in the EPA. There are a lot of scientists working in the EPA, holdovers who seem to have grave concerns and who have been doing whatever they have to do. They feel to let people know about things that they just don't feel are right.
Right, and especially with what's his name.
Scott Pruitt
at the head of the EPA. You know, we've had two of the strongest hurricanes in history, coming at us in the last 2 weeks. And he says now is not the time to talk about climate change. Well, if not now, when?
Yes. And I saw a weather report this morning by somebody pretty good meteorologist was saying, you know, because Jose hasn't gone away yet. Jose's a bit of a lurker.
Mm-hmm.
They're not sure what Maria's going to do. And it doesn't seem to be entirely clear whether the high pressures, low pressures, thingies and what's-its, whether there could be some impact on the United States between the two.
Oh, God. I can't even. We have Trump fatigue, we have hurricane fatigue, we have earthquake fatigue, we have disaster fatigue, we have stress fatigue, we have fatigue. I don't know how we're going to make it through the next 3 years. I really don't. That's why I'm saying,
you know,
Saturday could be it.
Maybe you're right.
Just saying. Nambia or not.
Maybe you're right.
All right. Victoria Jones, Talk Media News Service, talkmedianews.com. Thank you, Victoria.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The news, it just gets more and more absurd, does it not? All right. We're not even going to take a break. We're just going to get Howie Klein on the line because it is that time. So let's get to it. Oh, I got to do this first.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're going to love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and French fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of...
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acidic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print.
Uh-oh.
And for dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
Hi, Howie Klein.
Hey, Nicole.
Yes?
While that was playing, I was literally just finishing my last post.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, that's how close to the wire the wire it was. But I just finished.
Okay. The post that you sent me or a different one?
No. This is a post for tomorrow about a friend of yours and mine, Dana Steele, the woman who's running in Houston. Her whole campaign, of course, was put on hold because of Hurricane Harvey. I don't have to tell you about what kind of an inconvenience, to put it mildly, that was. But she turned her campaign into like kind of a rescue operation, and they were, you know, going and trying to help people and help animals and just put the campaign on hold. And her house itself got three feet of water in it, and she's doing major renovations to her home now. You know, they have to rip out the drywall and put in new drywall before you get black mold and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
So she wrote a post about what people could learn from these hurricanes and what kind of planning you have to do for them in places that are prone to have hurricanes. And so it was a guest post, but for me, you know, I wrote an introduction, I had to put it together, I had to edit it, all that kind of stuff. So that's what I was doing. And just ended as Chuck Schumer finished his spiel.
Well, then perfect timing. You know, I'm thinking about all the people, and we got really lucky with the hurricane. I mean, we had some minor damage here. We have a screen enclosure in the backyard, and we lost some of the screens, and trees, you know, went down, and lots of foliage everywhere, and more nuisance than anything else. But I went to the dentist this morning, and my dental hygienist, same thing, had her entire apartment flooded, and she's got to replace the floors and the drywall. And, you know, I was talking with Laura Packard a little while ago, who is another a friendly acquaintance of mine who is battling stage 4 cancer. And, you know, we're sitting here watching what the Republicans are trying to do with this health care repeal. And somebody said earlier today, I forget where I was listening, that if you call, I think it was Tom Hartman, actually, that someone called his show and said they were able to get through to Shelley Moore Capito's office, to Ted Cruz's office, to Lisa Murkowski's office, to Susan Collins' office, that they were calling. And the last time we went through this, you couldn't get through to any of those offices. And I'm wondering if it's just fatigue of all of the here we go again, like it, like the emperor's new clothes, like, you know, sure, we went through this twice already, it's not going to pass, or we're dealing with all the disaster fatigue going on, or I don't know what the answer is, but there's so much going on that maybe the fact that they're about to take our health care away is not resonating as strongly as it might otherwise.
Well, yes. You know, add to that all of the three-ring circus that the Trump regime is, and it has everybody running around in every direction. And yes, this, you know, but this is what we need to focus on right now, obviously, no matter what, you know, Trump is talking about. And, you know, there are a lot of things that are really crucial, really important, all going on at the same time. But, you know, if they can literally kill thousands and thousands of Americans by taking away their health care, which is exactly what they're planning on doing now.
Yes, which is just stunning to me. And John McCain, there's a lot riding on this, I think, for him. Either he can prove that, you know, he can put what's right above all else, or, you know, his friendship with Lindsey Graham is more important to him than doing the right thing for other Americans who are suffering the same, you know, the same cancer that he's suffering now. And
yep.
and I don't know. You know, they say that what's his name? Rand Paul is a solid no. I don't trust that for
a
second.
I don't exactly feel the same way. If we are depending on Rand Paul, we're in trouble.
I agree. In the meantime, as you say, there's other stuff going on from North Korea. The speech that Trump gave at the UN the other day was just, oh my
yes,
God.
Yes, I'm laughing. But what a crazy, crazy speech that was.
Yeah. I asked, John Nichols was on the show yesterday. I asked him, did you ever think that you would hear a United States president get up on the floor of the United Nations and say, we're going to destroy another country of 25 million people? And he said, yeah, when Donald Trump was elected.
Exactly. I mean, it's just, you know, everything about him is so not normal. But I suppose that's what his voters wanted. They wanted not normal. They got it.
I guess. Meanwhile, there's other stuff going on. You have a post up at downwithtyranny.com. Trump Pansy and his GOP enablers would rather deport Latinos than get serious about MS-13. It was just a month or so ago. I don't know. My time perception is off lately, because it seems like he's been in office for 10 years already. It's not even been 10 months. But it was just a few months ago, he went to Long Island. Remember when he was trying to get
Tell the Suffolk County policeman, beat the hell out of him.
Exactly. So detainees.
That's what you were going to talk about,
yes,
right?
Yes, exactly. You're going to arrest someone. Don't worry about protecting his head when you put him in the back of the squad car. Beat the shit out of him. You know, that was ostensibly about MS-13, this gang. And I guess this bill that you wrote about, Barbara Comstock's Criminal Alien Gang Member Removal Act.
Well, that's what they call it, but it really has almost nothing to do with gangs. The whole Trump thing is not really about gangs. They find it very convenient to have MS-13 around because they can make a boogeyman out of them, and they're not doing anything. I mean, MS-13 shoots back, so the Trump people aren't doing much about MS-13, and this bill is a joke. The bill is about labeling, groups who help illegal immigrants are defined as a gang. So very, very specifically, if you're in a church group or you're a bunch of nuns that are taking in an immigrant family, you are defined as a gang. That's why people say, well, why didn't the Democrats vote for this bill? What are they, in favor of MS-13? Of course they're not in favor of MS-13. This bill doesn't do anything about MS-13. This bill is going to deport nuns. I mean, it's insane. The bill was insane. There were only 11 Democrats that voted for it, plus the most sort of righteous Republican in the whole Congress didn't vote for it, Justin Amash. And the 11 Democrats who did vote for it, all of those are not even real Democrats. These are the blue dogs and new Dems who give Ryan and Trump an opportunity to call their horrible legislation, like this bill, bipartisan. And it was a terrible bill. I was happy that I was able to find the time in all of this mess that's going on to sit down and study the bill and write about it and talk to a few staffers on Capitol Hill and a couple of members of Congress and get their input into what this bill really was and why the Democrats would accept those 11 from the Republican wing of the Democratic Party who always vote badly, the Kyrsten Sinemas and Jackie Rosens and Dan Lipinski's, these terrible, terrible excuses for Democrats. They're the only ones that voted for it. And I wanted to understand why. And I tried to convey that in the post that I wrote this morning.
Right. And to that you mentioned there, Kyrsten Sinema looks like she's the Democrats' choice to go up against Jeff Flake in the Senate.
She's Schumer's choice.
Jackie Rosen.
Arizona If I had a guess, I would guess that it'll be her. But, Schumer's picked her. Now, in the case of Jackie Rosen in Nevada, Schumer picked her as well, Schumer and Reid together. But there's a Bernie-crat, I don't know how to pronounce his name, Jesse Spey or Spa. I'm not sure how he says his name. He's running as well. And Jesse is a much, much better candidate. Jackie Rosen is a freshman who's just been in for part of a term, and she's been a horrible member of Congress. She has an F from Progressive Punch. She votes with the Republicans constantly, in fact, on this bill. And now they want to run her for the U.S. Senate. Based on what? Why are they running her? Because she's the worst person they could find? That's the only thing I can think of.
That's
she's
amazing.
So terrible. I mean, Dean Heller, the incumbent Republican in Nevada now, there's almost nothing that's going to save his seat. He is so hated by the right and the left. If he even manages to win his primary, which is unlikely, the only possibility of him retaining his seat would be a candidate as bad as Jackie Rosen. And leave it to Chuck Schumer to find that candidate.
It's just mind-boggling why they do this. I just don't understand it. Well, and it's up to the people now. And if the people get involved and find the best, most progressive candidates, they can win.
Yes. But there aren't always people who are willing to stand up. But I don't think there is anyone in Arizona
really
who's willing to do this and take on this onerous burden of a primary. But in Nevada, there is. I mean, Jesse is a good candidate. He's the one who progressives can rally around. He's basically running on the Our Revolution platform.
Oh, good.
The Bernie and there's issues. So, you know, he's the way to go. People may remember him because he ran for Congress last time, and Harry Reid called him into his office and said, "You can't win this. The people in Nevada are not going to elect a Muslim, and you should get out of the race."
Oh my God! How do you spell his last name?
S B A I H. S like Sam, B like in boy, A I H.
Bye. I wonder if it's just bye. I wonder if the S is silent. But okay, I understand why you can't pronounce it.
We follow each other on Facebook, and I asked him for his phone number, and he sent me his phone number yesterday, and I've been so busy that I haven't had a chance to call him, but I'm going to call him in the next few days. I'm busy because Randy Bryce has been in town, and I've been going with him to various events.
Oh, great.
And I'm with him constantly, and he's leaving tonight and going back to Wisconsin. But he's been here. Ted Lieu has a pack called the Lieu Pack. Which is not, it doesn't raise money for Ted Lieu. It raises money for the candidates that Ted Lieu is trying to help get elected to Congress. It's a leadership pack. I wrote about that for tonight on my blog, where I explain what leadership packs are, who's raising money around the country. So it's not just Ted Lieu, obviously. And I even included a picture I took from the event, which included Ted Lieu and Doug Applegate, who's running against Daryl Issa, and, of course, Randy Bryce, who's the Democratic candidate running against Paul Ryan. So you can see that the three of them pose together. But so far, because Ted is the regional vice chair, he was elected regional vice chair by his colleagues of the DCCC. And because of that, he's not endorsing any candidates on the West Coast. That's his region, and he's being neutral. So he's only endorsed one candidate for Congress anywhere in the country, and that one candidate is Randy. So it was a big surprise for Ted's followers, who were, you know, there were about 100 people who came to this meeting in Manhattan Beach, thinking they're going to hear Ted. And what a surprise it was for them when Ted says, "I want to introduce two friends of mine," and he introduces Randy and Doug, and the crowd just went insane. I mean, they were like in shock, and in a very, very good way. And it was a real fun event. But anyway, what I was saying is I've been running around all over town doing these various events with Randy and watching him in action. It's really amazing. I mean, he'll go from speaking to, you know, basically a union kind of crowd, where it's a bunch of union members who want to hear about that stuff, and he's talking about solidarity, and these are his people. And they know it. I mean, they really know it. And it's very, very, very inspiring to hear him speaking. And then like last night, we wound up this woman, she's a famous woman, an actress. Chelsea Handler.
Oh.
Have you heard of her?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, she's very well known. And mm-hmm. she put on an event at her house for Randy. She invited her friends. And it was a very, very different kind of crowd, and I was curious to see how Randy was going to handle that. And he did great. He did really, really well. People loved him, and it was, you know, these are you know, people who have done very, very, very well in the economy. And you know, Randy didn't change his message, his populist message, in talking with them. I mean, they loved it as well.
It was
quite inspiring. Very, very nice. It was kind of strange, in a really beautiful, beautiful house, and there's Randy on the other side of the swimming pool speaking. it was kind of funny, you know, watching him in that kind of situation, when normally you're watching him in a situation where, you know, he's talking to people who are very, very much like him, like, you know,
people from Wisconsin, from his district, right. Well, but good that he's making the rounds, because that's, I hate to say it, that's what politics is about. And it's a lot of raising money and shaking hands and schmoozing. And so it sounds like, you know, hey, when I spoke with him, I loved talking to him. He's very open, very, very accessible.
Yeah, well, he certainly is. And the night before that was a very, very funny situation. So you remember the Bare Naked Ladies used to play
sure.
them on the radio show.
Yeah.
And they were one of the bands that I worked very closely with when I was at Reprise. And the first time I ever saw the Bare Naked Ladies play live, it was in London. And they didn't have a record out in London. They were a huge Canadian band. They didn't have a U.S. Mm-hmm. record, and they didn't have a British record. We were getting ready to put those out, but they were doing a show in London. And I went, and it was so crowded. It was a small place, but it was so crowded that people were way out into the street. I mean, and when I say people, I mean 100 people were in the street because
wow.
they couldn't get into the tavern where they were playing. And I was thinking, how is it possible that they've sold this place out and that there's 100 people outside trying to hear them and the door was open, and what's that all about? And I started talking to people, and I realized every person there was Canadian. Every single one of them was a Canadian person living in London. And when they came to LA the first time, it was the same thing. We did a show with them, and it was hundreds of Canadians from all over Southern California came to see them. Well, the other night there was a Randy event. And everyone I met was Canadian. Not only was everyone Canadian in there, and of course some of them brought friends, but these are all Canadian expats who live in LA. I'm sorry, I don't mean Canadian. I meant Wisconsinites.
Okay.
Everybody there was from Wisconsin, which is similar to Canada. But they brought friends with them, some of them, but it was mostly just Canadian folks, and the food, they really have a different diet there.
Wisconsin.
It was the first time I ever ate cheese curds. Do you know what a cheese curd is?
No.
It's fried cheese. I mean, when you think about that, you can't imagine people in LA eating fried cheese. It's like the last thing at all you'd ever find. And yet, they were serving cheese curds. And
Wisconsin,
I mean, I ate like this
right?
giant pretzel with mustard that was really good.
Oh, pretzels with mustard, I've had.
It was all Wisconsin food. Everything was Wisconsin food, and everybody there was a Wisconsinite, and they were all there to see Randy and cheer him on, and, you know, it was a happy, happy scene.
That's funny. So, you had mentioned before Bernie Kratz, and obviously Randy Bryce takes a page from the Bernie book. Is there any connection there between the two of them?
Oh, absolutely there is. First of all, Bernie introduced Randy during the campaign at one of his events. Randy was a Bernie organizer.
Ah.
Randy was organizing for Bernie in Kenosha and Racine counties, and I think Rock County as well. And Bernie won all of those. I mean, he totally beat Hillary in the primary. But not only did he beat Hillary in the primary, this is something that very few people know. Bernie, so the same day that, of course, that they had the Democratic primary in Wisconsin, they also had the Republican primary in Wisconsin. Bernie didn't just beat Hillary. Bernie beat Trump in all of the counties that make up Paul Ryan's district.
Wow.
Except Waukesha, which only a little tiny piece of Waukesha and a little tiny piece of Milwaukee. So Milwaukee was Hillary territory, but so the county mostly the city of Milwaukee, and that's not in Ryan's district. So the city of Milwaukee is a separate thing. But so those two counties aren't really, I mean, they're part of the district. There's a little tiny piece of each of them. But what I'm talking about is the real heartland of Wisconsin's first district, which is, like I said, Kenosha County, Racine County, Rock County, Walworth County. That's the district. There's a little bit of suburbs around southern Milwaukee, plus there's the southern part of Waukesha. You can't get the numbers for those counties that are just part of the first district. My main point is that district, they voted for Bernie over Hillary, and they voted for Bernie over Trump. And that is something that the media doesn't take into account. Not only doesn't the media take it into account, the DCCC doesn't take it into account. When the DCCC is doing their targeting now and they're saying what districts they want to go after, they're only looking in one direction, which is backwards. And they're saying, we'll go after the districts where Hillary beat Trump. Okay, I mean, that's one metric you can use. Mm-hmm. But what about the districts where Bernie beat Trump? How about going after those districts?
Really?
And the fact that Bernie got more votes than Trump must mean something, even though Hillary wound up losing in the general election. So some of these districts are very, very good districts. And Randy's district is one of those districts. I mean, Trump did beat Hillary in the general election, but in the primary, Bernie got far more votes than Trump. So that's the reason, and that I'm, you know, that's just one district. There are dozens and dozens of districts all over the country where that's the case, and that is something that the DCCC should take into account. And as a matter of fact, I met some, you know, big macha from the DCCC the other night, and I explained this to him, and his eyes popped out of his head. Because he had never heard of this before.
Wow.
No one had ever brought up this metric. No one had ever mentioned it to them, and they've never considered it. And he was fascinated by it and wanted me to give him a list of every district where that's the case. And I mentioned to him, you know, this is the kind of work that someone could do, and they would probably, you know, charge you $50 an hour, and you'd pay them a few thousand dollars, and then you'd have the work. I would recommend that you get someone to do that for you. Which made him disconcerted. I said the other thing is you could read my blog where I talk about it all the time.
Right. And there it's done for you. That's good to know. So Bernie was aware of Randy, and Randy was probably inspired
to
run.
Together. I'm not supposed to say this, but something's going to be cooking about on that front very, very soon. But let's not tell anybody.
Okay. Yet. Well, Bernie this morning surprised me because I hadn't heard anything about it up until today. In fact, until you and I were discussing what to talk about today, that Bernie delivered a foreign policy speech this morning. Foreign policy was considered one of his weaker points during the campaign because he doesn't sit on any foreign...
That by Hillary
right.
and by the media that
right.
was paying attention to her narrative.
Right.
She put out a narrative that Bernie didn't know shit from Shinola about foreign policy, and her, you know, the lapdog establishment media picked up on it and kept repeating it over and over again. It's not true.
Right. But so he delivered a speech this morning in Fulton, Mississippi, which...
Missouri.
I'm sorry, Missouri. I knew that. And I'm just looking at, you've got a post going up at Down with Tyranny at 2 o'clock Pacific time. So that's at 5 o'clock this Eastern time. It'll be up about that. So did he say anything? Did he give us the answer to North Korea?
He did. What he did is he tried to, you know, the reason that Fulton is important as a place to give a foreign policy speech is it was because one of the most famous foreign policy speeches of our time was given there, and that was by Winston Churchill when he framed the whole idea of the Iron Curtain. I think that was, I don't know if it was really where the phrase Iron Curtain was invented, but it was certainly where the phrase Iron Curtain came into common currency and where people started talking about it. So that, you know, the Iron Curtain speech, if you look it up on YouTube, you'll actually find the speech. In my post, I linked to the speech itself as well of the film of it. But so that's a reason why Bernie picked Fulton, Missouri to give the speech on the same stage where Winston Churchill gave his speech. And what Bernie is trying to do was sort of weave together a foreign policy vision, a progressive foreign policy vision, to define what that is. And that's what he did. And he did a couple of examples of from around the world of foreign policy. Obviously, he talked about North Korea as well. But his purpose was a greater purpose, which was to put foreign policy into the context of massive global economic inequality.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I said in my title, I mean, if you can just try to imagine a debate between Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump on foreign policy, it's actually unimaginable, since Donald Trump doesn't even know what foreign policy is.
Right.
And there is no context to his foreign policy. His foreign policy is based on ego and anger and, you know, who's got the bigger stick and just nonsense. I mean, absolute. He's a nonsense person.
Yeah.
And here what Bernie did this morning was to lay out a vision for everybody to see of where he's coming from and how he reaches ideas about specifics based on a whole and a holistic approach to the relationship between the United States and the rest of the world. And it was very interesting, I thought, because he's talking about not as much about governments, but as about people. There are the people of the United States, and there are people around the world, and why that is the important way to judge what foreign policy should be and what kind of goals we should have in foreign policy. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, I'm sure, you know, any minute now the video of that speech will be available, if it's not available now, on YouTube, and people can watch it. But I got an early copy of the speech from his office. And that's why I was able to read it and write my story early. But it was absolutely fantastic. I mean, it was the cure for what Donald Trump is.
Oh, good. Well, then I look forward to reading it and reading your whole post, because I got it late. Howie Klein, we're out of time. As always, thank you.
All right. Well, thank you. Good to talk to you. Bye.
Talk to you next week. Bye-bye. All right. We ran over. So tomorrow, Kelly Carlin will be here. So be sure to be here. She'll give us the cure for what ails us, I hope. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye. I read the news
today. It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
As the fight over the future of the Affordable Care Act enters its final week for the fiscal year, the spat between late-night host Jimmy Kimmel and the senator who named the so-called Jimmy Kimmel test, Bill Cassidy, continued. On Wednesday, Cassidy was asked about Kimmel's accusation of lying by CNN's Chris Cuomo, and Kimmel hit back hard with facts.
There's a new Jimmy Kimmel test for you. It's called the lie detector test. You're welcome to stop by the studio and take it anytime.
Harsh words, not apparently in jest, and joining us now is Senator Bill Cassidy. What is your response, Senator?
I'm sorry, he does not understand.
Oh, I get it. I don't understand because I'm a talk show host, right? Well, and then help me out. Which part don't I understand? Is it the part where you cut $243 billion from federal health care assistance? Am I not understanding the part where states would be allowed to let insurance companies price you out of coverage for having pre-existing conditions? Maybe I don't understand the part of your bill in which federal funding disappears completely after 2026. Or maybe it was the part where the plans are no longer required to pay for essential health benefits like maternity care or pediatric visits, or the part where the American Medical Association, the American College of Physicians, the American Academy of Pediatrics, the American Hospital Association, the American Cancer Society, the American Diabetes Association, the American Heart Association, Lung Association, Arthritis Foundation, Cystic Fibrosis, ALS, the National Multiple Sclerosis Society, and the March of Dimes, among many others, all vehemently oppose your bill. Which part of that am I not understanding? Or could it be, Senator Cassidy, that the problem is that I do understand and you got caught with your geo penis out? Is that possible?
Senators Susan Collins and Rand Paul seem to be hard nose on the bill.
I have a lot of concerns about the bill. From the initial analysis that I've done, this bill did not go through the committee process. It makes fundamental changes in Medicaid despite not having a single hearing.
Graham Cassidy actually keeps most of the Obamacare spending, and it just sort of reshuffles it. And so I see it really more as sort of, you know, petty partisanship. Hey, let's reshuffle the deck and give the money to the Republican states, but let's keep the Obamacare spending. My concern is the debt. We have a $700 billion debt. How are we going to pay for all this?
Alaska's Lisa Murkowski has said that with no CBO score, she's relying on data from Trump's Department of Health and Human Services and Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services and her state to decide whether to back the health bill. And John McCain, whose best friend in the Senate, Lindsey Graham, is the bill's main co-sponsor, keeps talking about regular order and bipartisanship, neither of which are present in Graham Cassidy.
So instead of trying to jam something through like a, quote, skinny repeal, let's do it in the normal process. And I understand Senator Graham and Senator Cassidy and their desire to get this done, but I guarantee you, haven't we learned that bipartisanship, particularly when we're talking about one-fifth of our gross national product, healthcare, that it should be done on a bipartisan basis.
As for a vote on the bill, on Wednesday, Mitch McConnell's office issued a vague statement, quote, "It is the leader's intention to consider Graham Cassidy on the floor next week." Keep those calls going to 202-224-3121 and let your senators know what you think. Hurricane Maria ravaged Puerto Rico Wednesday with a direct hit that caused severe flooding and cut power to virtually the entire island. It hit as a Category 4 storm with 155-mile-per-hour winds, the strongest hurricane to hit Puerto Rico in over 80 years. It's intensifying again as it passes the Dominican Republic and takes a northern turn on Thursday. Meanwhile, Mexico is digging out from a massive 7.1-magnitude earthquake where a day-long vigil and rescue continue at an elementary school where at least 21 children have been lost, but a young girl called Frida could be heard crying out to rescuers. Across the region, similar scenes playing out where thousands of professionals and volunteers work frantically at dozens of wrecked buildings looking for survivors. At least 52 people have been rescued. As this week brought some unfounded rumors that the president was open to re-engaging on the Paris Climate Accord, Nicaragua has done an about-face. Originally, only Nicaragua and Syria had refused to sign on, Nicaragua arguing that the treaty wasn't strong enough. But now, 3 months after Trump announced plans to withdraw the U.S. from the agreement, Nicaragua President Daniel Ortega said he will sign on to the accord in a show of support for countries suffering from the disasters caused by climate change. That leaves only the United States and Syria standing as the only non-signatories to the Paris Climate Accord. During a speech at a UN luncheon on Wednesday, First Lady Melania Trump condemned bullying and touted the golden rule.
As adults, we are not merely responsible. We are accountable. I hope you will join me in recommitting ourselves to teaching the next generation to live by and honor the golden rule. Unto others as you would have them unto you, which is my paramount in today's society, and I'm focused as First Lady. It remains our generation's moral imperative to take responsibility for what our children learn. I got
to One wonders if she knows who she's married to. And that's a bit of What's News for Now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider a contribution as we are 100% listener funded. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.